Well, we're going to Jerusalem to talk with Rabbi Yoel Karen this last week, the celebration of Jerusalem Day. And Rabbi Karen is very, very involved in making certain that the Jewish people have a right and an opportunity to go up onto the Temple Mount. In fact, he takes groups up there and teaches from that holy site for the Jewish people. In addition to that, he's a part of all that's going on to prepare to build the next temple on the Temple Mount. Rabbi, let me just talk to you about Jerusalem Day. I know that it's past. I know that there was a great celebration there in the city. But it is a key component in the plans for those who would like to not only be able to go on the Temple Mount and study, but to build a temple up there as well. In 1967, 46 years ago, it marked the reunification of the city of Jerusalem, and that was very special, wasn't it?
Absolutely. This was something, this was really the hope and dream of 2,000 years. That we would see ourselves return to Zion and return to the holy city of Jerusalem and to rebuild it and to see it rise up once again as a built city. This is what the people said every year at the end of the Passover Seder. Next year in Jerusalem, next year in the rebuilt city of Jerusalem.
Why would they say that at the Passover Seder? I know that is the case. I've done it often myself, and in fact, I still use that phrase. I was with a church in the Dallas area, pastor talking about going to Israel with us, and I said to him as we were departing next year in Jerusalem, what was the significance of that statement?
Well, it's going along with the general theme of redemption that Passover symbolizes. Passover was all about redemption and being redeemed from slavery into freedom and being brought into this land. That's what it was all about, and receiving God's laws. And you know, once we went into exile, this crushed those dreams. It was because of our own sins. And we knew that we had to make ourselves right with God and have him bring us back to fulfill everything that he had said to the prophets and to our fathers. And so that was a part of it. And just for technical reasons, there really is no Passover without Jerusalem. Anything that we did in the exile was simply a rehearsal, so we didn't forget what to do when we were here. And now we're back, and it's time to wake up and to realize our purpose.
That is a purpose that is dictated by the ancient Jewish prophets, so it's a biblical purpose of which we're speaking. I had a friend named Shlomo Gorin. You knew about the gentleman. He was the chief rabbi for the Israeli Defense Force on June 7, 1967, when the paratroopers took back, after almost 2,000 years, the Temple Mount, the sacred piece of real estate, and reunited the city of Jerusalem. I know that you have some footage, and you have done some research on Shlomo Gorin. Now, we've talked about it before on this broadcast, but rehearse it again for us as we are focusing on this last week's celebration of Jerusalem Day. He went up there, and actually, when he went up there, he had some intentions that the Israeli government were not in coordination with.
Right. This part of the story was told by the general that was in charge of capturing the eastern part of the city, the old city, and the Temple Mount, Uzi Marcus. And he never told anyone this until he was sick with cancer and dying. And he tells a story about Rav Gorin. Rav Gorin was just really a very unique person in many, many ways. I've studied a lot of his writings, a lot of his rulings on Jewish law, and there's really nothing like him. He was really a man who had his eyes and his heart trained on the redemption of the people of Israel and not on the past. He was looking forward constantly. And as the Jordanians are still on top of the walls of the old city firing at him, he's seen running into the lion's gate with a Torah scroll in one hand and a ram's horn in the other, running through the sniper fire right into the gate, onto the Temple Mount, walks into the Holy of Holies. And there is a film clip of him walking in and standing there, lays down the Torah scroll and the ram's horn, and bows down and falls flat on his face on the Holy of Holies and cries out to God. And then he comes out of the Holy of Holies, out of the Dome of the Rock, and he tells Uzi Narkis, "Uzi, we're going to get 100 kilos of explosives up here, and we're going to be done with this right now." And Uzi tells him politely, "Rabbi, and general," he was a general also, Rabbi, don't say that again. And he says, Uzi, I'm telling you, today we can do it, tomorrow we can't. And he says, Rabbi, I'm telling you, if you say it again, I'm going to have you arrested. And from there, he left, disheartened, went down to the Western Wall, where all the soldiers were at the time, and he led the soldiers, and you can hear on the tapes, you can hear his voice cracking and breaking up, and he's crying as he's leading the soldiers in a prayer, thanking God for giving them the city back and for all of their brothers who had just fallen and died in the battle. And from there, as a little-known fact, that he takes off with a Jeep driver because he suddenly realizes while he's standing there is Hebron, the city of our fathers, the burial place of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's ours now. He takes off down there. The whole way, Arabs are throwing up white flags and surrendering to him. Only one shot was fired in capturing the city of Hebron, and that was by his Jeep driver. He was alone, just him and one driver. His Jeep driver shot the lock off of the tomb of the patriarchs, and they went in, made a makeshift Israeli flag, and put it up, and the city was captured. They didn't realize they had captured the city. It was only a few minutes after that they looked around and realized the army has not gotten there yet. One man and his Jeep driver single-handedly captured the city of Hebron. And so that's the kind of a person he was. He just did.
Wow, what a great story. I'm so glad you could relate that to us. I did have the pleasure and honor of being able to be with him several times doing some television production. And in fact, one time at a reception over at the president of Israel's home, we got together and had some conversation, little in stature, but big in drive and desire and motivation to do what he believed God wanted him to do. I also did have an opportunity to interview Uzi Narkus, who's the one who shut down the destruction of the Dome of the Rock. Now, when the rabbi was talking about the Holy of Holies, he was talking about going inside that gold dome building, the Dome of the Rock that's there on the Temple Mount. Well, that's a very, very wonderful recollection of what did happen on Jerusalem Day, June 7, 1967. All of this going on, and the Muslims are rioting. Before actually Jerusalem Day, they started rioting. There was some commotion with the Mufti of Jerusalem saying he was inciting this rioting. The Muslims do not want the Jews to go up on the Temple Mount. But one Muslim official has said they're ready to give up the Temple Mount when the Messiah comes. Did you hear that story?
That I didn't hear.
Well, he has made the statement that, look, we'll give up the Temple Mount when the Jewish Messiah comes, but we're not going to give it up until then. And that, I think, is indicative of the fact there's going to continue to be a battle. Just because Jerusalem has been liberated by the Jewish people, that doesn't mean it's easy sailing from here, does it?
No, not at all, not at all. This past Jerusalem Day was one of the most exciting and turbulent in recent years. We had, as you mentioned, the Grand Mufti was detained by police for inciting Muslims or encouraging them to throw chairs at Jews who had come up onto the Mount to pray. Seven Jews were arrested. Their only crime was attempting to pray in the one and only place that God attempted Jews to pray, commanded Jews to pray, which is the Temple Mount. Jews were never told to pray at a Western Wall or any other place on earth. They were only told and commanded to come to that mountain and serve him. And that is where they're there to come and serve him. And they were arrested for this. And now there's, because of it, thank God, sometimes it's these rowdy actions, this purposeful defiance that causes action to be taken. And now there will be, I just saw it in the news this morning, there will be a Knesset hearing, a hearing in Israel's parliament on how to permit Jewish prayer on the Temple Mount. And that's not just Jewish prayer. It's freedom of prayer for everyone, because you should know that Christians are also not allowed to pray on the Temple Mount now. And if this is successful and we finally get it pushed through, this will truly have become a house of prayer for all nations and not just a place for Muslim prayer. And where everyone else is shut out, both you and I, Christians and Jews, will be allowed to pray to God on that mountain.
Wow, that is great news. Knesset, the Israeli legislative body, moving forward on that particular legislation. Well, I was glad to see the mayor of Jerusalem, Barkat, make the statement that indeed it was going to be the undivided city. There was not going to be any Palestinian capital city in what is Jerusalem today. He did suggest they might want to call Ramallah North Jerusalem or something like that. I'm not sure if that's going to fly. But this conflict is not over, is it? It's going to continue on. We haven't seen the end of the fight for control of the Temple Mount, have we?
Not at all. Not at all. And just as much as we see, whenever we see successes, we also see the other side fighting back. And not only we have the Jordanians are ready to recall their ambassador and ready to expel our ambassador over this whole thing with the Mufti and the very idea that Jews might be allowed to go up there and pray. And they're upset at the very idea that Jews were allowed there on Jerusalem Day. At the height of ridiculousness. And so we had to expect things like this. We have things like this to deal with. These are the last gasps of this secular humanist system that these people were raised on. It's fading, it's out of the way, everyone has seen that it doesn't work, and that it's not what God wants from us, and it's breathing its last gas, and hopefully it'll keel over and be dead soon enough.
Amen and amen. Well, the ancient Jewish prophet Zechariah said in chapter 12 and verse 2 that this city, Jerusalem, the holy city, would be controversial, especially in the last days, and it looks like we're moving towards the fulfillment of that prophecy. Rabbi Yoel Karen, a good friend of us, one of our broadcast partners in the Jerusalem area, reporting some of the great historic facts about the original Jerusalem Day and how the controversy is continuing on. Rabbi Karen, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again down the line.
Thank you very much.